You probably know that in the first couple of chapters of Luke, there are four songs. Four songs associated with the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And let me just draw them to your attention just before we get into the heart of this. There is, of course, Mary's song, known as the Magnificat, in Luke chapter 1, 46 and following. There is Zechariah's song, which we think about this morning, known as the Benedictus. These words come from the original Latin into which it was translated, and they've kind of carried down through the generations. There is the angel's song in chapter 2, just contained in one little verse, chapter 2 and verse 14, known quite famously as the Gloria in Excelsis Deo, glory to God in the highest. And there is Simeon's song, known as the Nunc Dimittis. So you're learning some Latin this morning. It simply means now dismiss. So four famous songs that we can read in the first couple of chapters of the Gospel of Luke. And today, as I've already indicated, we're going to think a little bit about Zechariah's song. And basically what I want to share with you in the time that I have this morning is that there are four pictures that I will show you, four pictures in a moment, but there are four pictures that I want to communicate with you this morning in this song that Zechariah prophesied that really tell us something about the coming of Jesus into the world. Now, some of the things that Zechariah said, first and foremost, we're speaking about his son John the Baptist, but ultimately they are all very definitely fulfilled in Christ. So I'll have to explain these pictures. That's really my sermon this morning. There's the picture up at the top of a prison and a prison door being opened. And that's one of the pictures that is in Zechariah's song. There's a picture over here, actually, if you're really into Lord of the Rings, you will notice that it's one of the famous battles in the Lord of the Rings. So it was the only picture of a battle that I could get that I thought was appropriate. It's the winning of a battle. There's a picture of something being cancelled. And there's the picture of a sunrise, the dawning of a new day. So that's my sermon. Unfortunately, I'm not just going to stop at this point. I need to explain it a little bit more. So the first thing is this, that in Zechariah's song, we have a picture that is painted of the opening of a prison door. The text tells us, in Luke chapter 1 and verse 67, it says that John's father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and he prophesied, praise be, that's actually where the Benedictus comes from in the Latin, praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. Now, many of us will know to redeem something is to buy it back by the payment of a price. The other picture, the other meaning of redeem is to set free, to release, to set free, to open a door and let someone out, to open a prison door and to let the prisoner go free. And you know, at the heart of the gospel is the message. And again, Luke mentions it later, a few chapters later, Luke chapter 4, where he records that amazing situation where Jesus is in the synagogue on a Sabbath morning, and he stands up and he reads from the prophet Isaiah, and he opens it up, And he reads these verses. I'm not going to quote them all, but he says this: "He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed." And then he sits down and he basically says, "This is fulfilled in me." And you know what? The heart of the gospel is the message of a Christ who has come to open, as it were, the prison doors within all of our lives and to set us free from the things that hold us. When Jesus came, it signaled the opening of the prison doors. How many there are here and throughout our community who need to hear again in a fresh and real and powerful way that Jesus Christ is able to set us free from the things that bind us, from the things that tie us up, from the things that overwhelm us, from our self-centered, sinful ways, from the things that we get addicted to. Jesus Christ is able to set us free. Now, I realize that sometimes when we talk about those things, people might think, well, is it just something that can happen overnight? Not always. Sometimes it is. But sometimes people struggle with many a thing over many a day. But there is deliverance to be found in Christ. We sometimes sing that wonderful hymn, "He breaks the power of cancelled sin, he sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean, his blood availed for me." Is that what you need to hear this morning, here today? That in the gospel, there is a message that prison doors are opened, that we are set free from our sin, from our self-centeredness, from our addictions, and we are liberated by the power of the gospel. Jesus said, "If the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed." So that's the first thing. The gospel, the opening of a prison door. The second thing that Zechariah speaks about is the winning of a battle. Have any of you been already? Well, you only had two nights to be there, so probably not. Any of you been already to see The Hobbit Part 2? Says you, I'm not as interested in that sort of stuff as you are. But anyway, you'll know by now, I thought The Lord of the Rings and all of that stuff was terrific. This is a scene from The Lord of the Rings Book 2, The Two Towers, The Battle at Helm's Deep, where Gandalf, the saviour figure, as it were, comes and crushes the powers of darkness. And there is a picture there. And the writer meant there to be a picture of one who would ultimately crush the powers of darkness. And in Zechariah's song, he actually deals at quite length here and he paints this picture of the winning of a battle. Look what he says, verse 69. "He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David." What does that actually mean? Well, in the Bible, and especially in the Old Testament, the horn was actually a symbol of power and strength. And in a number of situations, it was a symbol of a victory in a battle over the enemy. For example, 1 Kings 22, if you want an example, you can read there of how the horn is used literally in the midst of a battle as a symbol of victory over the enemy. And you can see that. Look at the sort of language that Zechariah uses here. Verse 70, "As he said through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us." Verse 74, "to rescue us from the hand of our enemies." And in these verses, there is a thread running through it of the winning of a battle. Folks, at the heart of the gospel is a message of the Christ who has won a great battle over the powers of sin and death and hell and Satan himself. You remember the words of the Apostle Paul in Colossians chapter 2. You remember these words? Let me just read them to you. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 15. And having disarmed the powers and the authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Folks, remember that in the gospel, a great battle has been won. Christ is risen, is the message of Easter, but it's also the message of Christmas. Because the one who died also rose again. The one who died for our sins, to rescue us from our sins and from ourselves, rose again on the third day. He is the victor. He is victorious. And the gospel is a message of a battle that has been won. Let me ask you today, if you're a Christian, do you see that? Do you live in light of the victory that Christ has won? Are you still living in defeat, not claiming the victory that we have in him? The winning of a battle. The third picture that we have here is the picture of the cancelling of a debt. Verse 76, look at what it says. And of course, this is one of those occasions when Zechariah is speaking first and foremost of his son John. Verse 76, and you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High. For you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. And you see that little phrase, through the forgiveness of their sins. Actually, one of the root meanings at the very heart of that is a picture of a debt that has been cancelled. A debt that has been hanging over people, and somebody comes along and just wipes the slate clean. It's interesting, just a couple of mornings ago, I was listening to the news, as we do after we get up in the mornings, and they were talking about the financial problems that our neighbours in the Republic of Ireland have had, and they actually used these phrases. They said that there's probably going to have to be, what they said, a debt cancellation. And the other phrase that they used, actually, which I was surprised at, they said there's probably going to have to be a debt forgiveness. A debt forgiveness. That's what they literally said. And, you know, it made me think of the gospel. And it made me think of, at the heart of the gospel, is this message that our spiritual debt that we owe to God, that we could never, ever pay, that God comes and he says, look, I'm just going to cancel that. I'm just going to wipe the slate clean. Now, of course, it had to be paid. Who was it that pays it? It was Jesus. Jesus pays the debt. We sometimes sing that lovely little chorus and we enjoy singing it. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to take my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace, the whole day long. For Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. Folks, do you really see that? In these days of financial struggle, in these days of debts having to be paid and pressures and all that kind of thing, in these days when, for all that I know, more people than I might even realize who listen to this morning really know what it is to be under the pressure of a debt. And that's not easy. That's not easy. But at a spiritual level, think about this, that every single one of you, and that includes me, that we actually owed a debt to God himself that we were never, ever, ever going to pay. And one day, as it were, somebody was going to come calling at the door and saying, what about this debt? Somebody has to pay it. And yet the amazing truth that the person who's owed the debt comes knocking on the door and says, you know what? I've paid it in Jesus. That's the gospel. And sometimes we are too familiar with these things. And we need to allow the weight of that to touch our hearts and to change our hearts and to mold our hearts and our lives, that we will say, thank you, Lord Jesus. I am now going to follow you and live for you. Because you paid a debt that I could never, ever pay. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Have you ever said thank you? Have you ever said thank you? Through the words that you say, but through the life that you live? Surely it's the least that we can do. The cancelling of a debt. And the final picture that we have here is the dawning of a new day. It's a lovely picture. Do you notice it there? Verse 78 and 79. Because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven. It's a picture of Jesus, the rising sun, to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. We sometimes read, and I'm sure it will be read this evening, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. The dawning of a new day. Let me show you a picture just before I finish. I showed this actually a year ago, but I think it's a great picture, not because I chose it or anything, but because I think it's a wonderful picture of what the gospel does. Young people, you know those two young people there. Andrew Trimble, the Ulster rugby star, and Katie Taylor, the Irish boxing star. What is it that they have in common? They're from different parts of the country. Well, they're both committed Christians. They both follow Jesus Christ. And that is the power of the gospel. So young folk, if you don't remember anything else that I say this morning, remember the pictures. What was he talking about this morning? Well, I can't really remember, but he showed these two pictures. What were the pictures about? The pictures were about the gospel and the power of the gospel to touch people from all sorts of different backgrounds and different places. That's what the gospel does. That's the power of the gospel. And so this morning, I finish with that. Zechariah's song. And he proclaims that in Christ, the prison doors have been opened. That in Christ, we are free. In Christ, the battle has been won. The Savior has come and he has crushed the powers of darkness. Praise God. And in Christ, the debt that hung over us is cancelled. And in Christ, a new day has dawned. If you're not yet a Christian, if you haven't yet come to Jesus Christ for salvation, again I say to you as your pastor, why not? Why on earth not? Repent and believe the good news. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. This is what is offered for all who will believe. Freedom, victory, the cancelling of our debts spiritually, and the dawning of a new day. The gospel is good news. And Christian brother and sister, in the midst of the struggles and the pressures that we face in life, and we all face them, allow these pictures to put it all in perspective. And despite the pressures, despite the problems that you, some of you, are sitting under this morning, remember that in Christ we have freedom, we have the cancelling of our spiritual debts, we have victory, and we have a brand new day. And that is good news. It really is. May God bless these words to our hearts. A brief prayer before we sing. Lord, we thank you that indeed we can, as we now will do. We can sing, "Joy has dawned." And we thank you for the deep joy that the gospel brings. Lord, may it touch all of our hearts by your grace and through your Spirit. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen.